Welcome to my motivational podcast. I'm a mother of two beautiful children, a wife to an amazing husband, and I've been teaching for 12 years. In the past few years, I've made some major discoveries about myself as a working mother by realizing how much happier I was when I stopped the negative and focused more on my best. My mission is to help you accept your excellence, like I have in the world of teaching and motherhood. Each episode will focus on five important themes: giving, creating, being healthy, self-serving, and teaching. I'm giving you the real life trials and tribulations on being your best for two passions that take up all of your energy. This is 24-hour teaching. After a long time away, I have returned. Let's see, it's been September, October, and I'll probably end up doing two in December. So I'll count this as a November one. So that means September and October. So I took a 2-month break. And I think about it all the time, my podcast. However, for whatever reason, starting up a school year is really, really tough. And teachers who understand, it doesn't matter if it's your first year or if it's your 36th year, it takes so much time to prepare your room. Not just the way it looks, but your initiatives, what things are you going to improve from past years? What are you going to keep? What are you going to change? There's just so much to think about and prep. I have a new teaching partner this year, and she's amazing. And I wanted to talk today about what it's like to transition from your old work wife to your new work wife. And it was kind of funny. So for the first couple weeks, every time someone came into my room, myself and my new teaching partner would be standing there, and they would say, "Oh, you must be missing Lisa so much," in front of my new teaching partner. And they would say it just like that. And, you know, put me in an awkward position because, yeah, of course I miss Lisa, but I also really enjoy my new teaching partner. And I, at this time, was really looking forward to, you know, a new beginning. And it's almost like a breakup. You know, I had last year to almost mourn my relationship was going to end. And I had the summer to move past that Lisa was no longer going to be in the classroom with me permanently. And I moved on and I was ready. And I had full excitement for my new teaching partner. And she's done nothing but impress me every day. Absolutely enjoy her stamina, her positivity, her encouragement. She's a phenomenal teacher, great insights. I don't think I can meet up to her work ethic. She's far more hardworking than I am. This happened countless times. So finally, I hang out with Lisa quite often. She's my go-to babysitter for my children. Being in an area where I don't have a lot of family, and with my son who has a tree allergy, and then also what's called an idiopathic anaphylaxis, which means he can just spontaneously go anaphylactic, I'm very self-conscious about who can watch my children. And Lisa, not only do I know she would make a great decision, she's not a kid, so she doesn't have to think emotionally, she can think logically, and she's trained in the Abbey, so it just all makes sense. But I trust her 100%. And I was sitting down one night with her early September, and I'm telling her about how these people are coming into my classroom in front of my new teaching partner and saying, "Oh, you must be so sad that Lisa's not working with you anymore." And she's just dumbfounded also that these people are doing that. And if you're one of them, I apologize. But I think that's a private conversation. and not publicly. So it puts me in a, like I said earlier, an awkward situation. Do I say yes? Do I say no? If I say yes, I miss her, I'm offending my new teaching partner. If I say no, I don't miss her, I'm now offending Lisa. And quite honestly, I have both feelings, but leaning towards no, I don't miss her. And I love Lisa dearly, but she's transitioned into a new role in my life. And I don't have to miss her. She's in my life all the time. We message each other. She, like I said, she watches my kids. We have, you know, wine together in conversations. I've been active helping her son just kind of learn the ins and outs of being a student teacher, and it's been great. We've moved on to a different stage in our life, and she's in an amazing place right now, and I can only be happy for her. That's the only thing I can say. I can only be happy for her. So no, I don't miss her as my teaching partner because I'm happy of where she's going. And my new teaching partner, like I said, is amazing. And she's a young mom like myself, so we just understand each other in our positions, as did Lisa. But that doesn't mean I couldn't have gotten somebody who didn't understand. I'm not going to lie, I was nervous who was going to have my teaching partner position. I didn't know, was it going to be somebody that I would get along with, that type of thing. And my new work wife is, she's totally in relationship mode with me, which is great. She knows how to put me in my place. I tend to be very ADHD when it comes to conversations. And she's like, nope, we got to stay on track, which is just what I need. She's got a great sense of humor and I can take it. And I think ultimately too, she's very good at communication, and not everyone is good at communication. And that's something that's really important to me. And I said it right away in the beginning. I said, look, if you've got a conflict with me, you have to come to me right away or when you're ready and come to my face and say it. And just please have that integrity so that I can walk through the problem with you. And I promise I'll do the same. And so far, we really haven't had any major conflicts. And she's done exactly what I asked if she has. So it's been a really great transition. And I think this is part of the reason why I haven't had the opportunity to podcast, because I've been really focusing my time either on my family and still transitioning into a move. We don't have a single picture in my bedroom hung. We just started hanging pictures maybe 2 weeks ago, and we still have hundreds to do. Okay, not hundreds, I'm being facetious, but quite a bit. And my husband just got back from hunting. He did not get a deer. There's still muzzleloading, but he's really not, I think, pleased with that, and not very motivated to get more stuff done in the house because he's still recovering from the little vacation he had. So we're going to be headed towards some even more busy time with the holidays. We're hosting my side of the family and his side of the family, which we would want nothing other than. We both love hosting, and I think it's going to be great in our new home, which transitions me into the Christmas tree. We decided to buy a fake one this year. Past 5 years, 4 or 5 years, we cut down our own Christmas tree from, I believe it was called like Buffalo Bill's in Franklin, Wisconsin. A great place, highly recommend it. A little overpriced in my opinion, but I'm beginning to find out that they all are that way. But it's fun. You go out in the field, you find the just right tree, and you cut it down, drag it on a sled. They wrap it for you and you throw it on the roof of your car and head home. And it's been a really great tradition that we've been doing. But since my son has been diagnosed with all of these allergies, allergic to outside pollens and trees is one of them. And I don't think he's necessarily allergic to evergreen or pine tree. I believe they're called coniferous trees. He's not necessarily allergic to that tree, but we found that last year when we cut down our tree, he was having a lot of allergic reactions. And I think it's all of the like pollens and outside mold, ragweed, all that that he's allergic to is just kind of maybe on the tree, and that is what caused him to react. And so for the health of my son this year, we decided to get a fake tree, and we went to Stein's Gardens and Gifts. We really liked their selection, and we found them to be most realistic looking. They're probably on the higher end of cost when you compare it to other places like a Walmart or a Target. However, not drastically more expensive, maybe just a few hundred. And the tree we bought, I couldn't tell you which one that it like resembles, but it's absolutely stunning and beautiful, and I love it. And it was kind of sad, though, because on our way to go get the tree, we were telling my son, we're going to go get our tree, we're going to pick it out. And he was like, well, we forgot my saw, and you forgot your saw. And, you know, it was just really sad that we had to talk to him in the car and say, well, actually, we're not going to cut our tree down anymore. And he was pretty bummed about it, but we really have to make this adult decision and parent decision based off of our son's needs. Otherwise, we would cut down a tree. I think my husband was most sad because he wouldn't be putting a tree on our Jeeps anymore. And it was kind of funny because when we purchased the fake tree, it was in this giant box, and there was no way we were going to put this giant box in our Jeep with two kids in car seats, and we weren't really thinking about this. I don't know why. We always are thinking two steps ahead. But he was pretty excited that he got to strap a tree to the roof of my car and continue the tradition of strapping a tree to the car. So he got a fun picture of us with our choice tree. I kind of wish we would have gotten our traditional family picture in front of the tree we chose inside the store, but we weren't going to run inside, get a picture, just to come back inside. So we got the traditional tree on top of the car picture. We drove home very carefully, making sure it didn't fly off my car, because I don't have like, I don't know what they're called. They're like the bars that attach to my natural roof rack. I'm not a car person. I have no idea what I'm saying. But anyway, we got it strapped, we got home, we got it put up yesterday. We purchased a few more ornaments from Hobby Lobby. They have really great selection of glass, not blown, but just really soft glass ornaments that I really, really thought were gorgeous and elegant. We picked up a Death Star for the top of our tree, which at first was for the kids, but let's be real, it's really for my Star Wars fan husband. And after everything is said and done, we have a beautiful tree in the perfect location, which was an argument between my husband and I. He won. And I'm just kidding. It was a mutual decision, and I didn't think it would fit where it did, but it does, and it looks great. And we had to manipulate the furniture a little bit, but I'll live. And it's gorgeous. I'm very happy with where we have it, and I'm really, really looking forward to having family over and filling our tree underneath with presents and just being merry together. So that is the reason why we decided to go to a fake tree this year. We got manipulated into buying some tree bag because it's normally $40 and it was half off. And if you buy a tree, I don't know if we're going to need it, but we bought it. We got suckered. My son purchased a little tiny itty bitty tree to put in his room and some battery operated lights that's wrapped around this little itty bitty tree. When we were at Hallmark, he found a Lego Santa ornament. And so he asked if he could have that. And of course, I said yes, because I'm a sucker for spoiling my kids. And so he has this Santa on his tree. It was kind of cute because my daughter saw this Santa holding this brown satchel. And she's like, why is Santa holding trash? And my son's like, no, that's where the presents go. He has gifts that he delivers. She's like, no, Santa's got garbage. And they're just going back and forth. He's trying so hard to explain to her why Santa holds presents in a bag and that it's not trash. But she really had, she wasn't listening. She was pretty persistent that Santa held trash and garbage. It was a cute conversation. Luckily, it's not her Santa and it's my son's. But he, when we were putting our big tree, our family tree up, he saw that we had a little tree skirt and he wanted one for his tree. So he was digging through some of his toys and I thought this was so creative. We have a Melissa and Doug, like pizza kit, right? So you have the little pizza tray that the pizza goes on when you serve it to people before you put it on the plates. Well, it's kind of like this checkered pattern on top of it. He put that underneath his Christmas tree and he said, look, now I have a Christmas skirt just like you guys. I thought it was just super smart. I'll post a picture of his Christmas tree on my next conversation. I have decided that I'm going to start a 24-hour teaching blog. Now, my blog isn't for me to type or share any what I share on my podcast because that would defeat the purpose of my podcast. The blog is where I'm going to post some of the things that I talk about in my podcast. For instance, one of my very first podcasts, I talked about how you can do gel manicures at home. And I tried doing a whole podcast on gel manicures, and it was really hard to talk about what I wanted to share and how I wanted to share it. So what I'm going to do is you can go to my, actually, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to put it. Maybe I'll put it on my Facebook. Maybe I'll put it on my Instagram and you can check it there. I really don't know yet how. If you go to my podcast site too, on Fireside, you will be able to find the link to my blog there for sure, but I don't know how else I can like share it out. But anyway, one of my first blogs that I'm going to post is how to do gel manicure, and I'm going to kind of go through the steps and things that I found work, things that I found that don't work, and how to purchase it inexpensively without wasting money. And I'll be honest, it's been a godsend. I love that, just like the calming to doing my nails. It's really inexpensive when you think about it, in contrast to actually getting your nails done by a professional. I can't say they look professionally done, but I have gotten compliments. One time when I was getting my hair done, my hairstylist was like, wow, where'd you get your nails done? And I was like, well, I did it myself. She's like, ooh, nice job. So I thought that I must be doing something right if, you know, a stylist who's trained in nails gives me a compliment. So if you are interested in learning about gel manicures, you can check out my 24-hour teaching, Accepting Your Excellence blog. More tips. And I'll also probably post either on my podcast or Instagram the picture of my son's adorable Christmas tree. I want to talk about health. It's the holidays, and I think I've heard so many people talk about how they can't eat this or can't eat that because it's the holidays. And I'm sure I've talked about this before, but I truly believe in balance. I indulged on some apple pie over Thanksgiving, and it was amazing. I made homemade apple pie, and I do the crumb topping crust. I believe they're called Dutch apple pie. I will post the, look at, this is so great that I'm going to have a blog, because I'm going to post the recipe on my blog for you if you're interested. It's a recipe that I got from my mom. She could have possibly gotten it from Betty Crocker for all I know. You know, the old school one with the red checkered buffalo plaid type of pattern on it. Quite honestly, I don't know. It's super easy to make, but it is delicious. You'll have to buy pre-made crust or find your own recipe for crust, because I don't know that part. I just buy the Pillsbury deep dish, but I have the recipe for everything else, and it's amazing. So I indulged on a ton of pie. I prefer Cool Whip over ice cream with my pie. It was incredible. I think I had more Cool Whip on it than I did pie, but that's the way it should be. And it's okay, because I'll burn it off in other ways, like cleaning my house or grocery shopping. Eventually, I'd like to get a treadmill in my house so I can take some walks and really take some time for myself. But I'm not worried, because I want to enjoy my holidays also. Now, that doesn't mean I had 7 pieces of pie in one sitting. You know, I'll eat 1 Christmas cookie a day, not 6 Christmas cookies a day. But I don't deprive myself. I think also something that we have to be mindful for during the holidays when it comes to health is our mental health. And I know my dad is not very happy, or I shouldn't say happy, he's not very favorable to the Christmas holiday because of how people get so demanding and anxious and concerned and wrapped up with the holidays. I know for myself, I am not a one-upper kind of person. I'm happy with who I am and what I have, and I never feel the need to have something better because of somebody else. If I want something better, it's because it's what I want, not because I want something that's better than other people. And with that, I think a lot of people tend to get really paranoid with the gift giving. And what I mean by that is I know who I need or want to give gifts to. And there may be a scenario where I get a present from someone and I didn't give them a present back. Do I feel awful about that? Absolutely. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I can't afford to give everybody a physical present. So this year, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to write letters to people who are very important to me, but yet I can't financially provide a gift that I would like to. And for everyone else, I have a set budget, and I'm not going to feel bad if my gift isn't of equal value to the gift that they have given me. You know, some families set limits, like don't spend more than blank. And that's great. Like I get that. But what if you find something that's spectacular, like the gift of the year, and you can't wait to give it to that person, or you want to purchase it, but it's not within that limit? You know, then it just kind of debunks the whole point of really finding the just right gift for people. Quite honestly, some years I have a hard time finding presents for certain people. And then other years, like, we're so excited to give so-and-so a certain present and we're really pleased. So some years we might spend a ton on one and not a lot on other person, but it always balances out eventually. We're okay with that. You know, I try to stick to a general budget. You know, I'm going to spend this much for my nephews. I'm going to spend this much for my niece. I'm going to spend this much on so-and-so about. And then we try to stick within $10 of that range. And we'll just kind of talk about it with each other, like, hey, is this worth the extra $10? Is it not? All right. Well, then the answer is no. Or yes, depending if it is. However, one thing that I think next year my husband and I are going to have to do is set a budget for our kids. And this year we just kind of been buying whatever we want to get them. Quite honestly, I have no idea how much we've spent so far. I don't think it's actually been that much, because a lot of it has been just like $10, $15 items when I see things on sale. Or I'm purchasing, for instance, I had to buy the kids something on Carters.com and I needed to spend $10 more to get free shipping. So I got my son a few things for Christmas, right? So outside of that, but I really have no, like my mom is so good with her money. She's like, I got this much money that I'm going to spend on each and she will not go a penny over. I mean, she has got a budget. She sticks to her budget and I'm really envious of that. I need to be better at my budget. So I don't have any suggestions for you other than don't feel bad if someone gets you a gift and you didn't get one for them. Don't feel bad if their gift was more money than the gift you got them. I think the coolest part is if you got a gift from someone, that means they love you. And if you can't afford a gift, write a special letter. Everybody loves special letters. They're worth it. Especially because it takes time to write them too. So that's what I'm going to do this year. Let's talk about traditions. I love traditions, and I've probably talked about this in the past in certain podcasts, but now that Christmas tends to have traditions, I'm going to talk about a few of my faves. Let's start with the classroom. We do the holiday party, even for those who don't necessarily celebrate Christmas. We don't call it a Christmas party, we call it a holiday party. And in the past, we would do gift exchange, but it would be very minor. So for instance, they would write their favorite candy or top three favorite candies, and they would do Secret Santa. So girls would get girls, boys would get boys, and then they would buy each other their favorite candy. And then throughout the week, prior to the holiday party, let's say a Monday, the party's on Friday, on Monday, they would write some type of clue about themselves. And then when they would return from specials, the clue about their Secret Santa and a little tiny little piece of candy would be on their desk waiting for them. And it was a super fun, exciting time for them and trying to figure out who their Secret Santa was. And then they find out. It was a really great tradition that we did. And I think we're going to change it this year. Instead of having a Secret Santa, we're going to do more of a design challenge during our holiday party. So we'll still have our holiday party planning committee, and they'll decide what kind of treats we're going to have during our party. But this time, and we did it for Halloween, it was great. The Halloween design challenge was they had to see who could create a catapult for a pumpkin marshmallow. And the winner, I don't know if they even won anything. I don't remember. But it was to see which team could launch their pumpkin marshmallow furthest. I believe this year for our holiday party, we're going to do something with elves. I'm not sure. My teaching partner has it all planned out. She said it's great, ready to go. And the kids have a really great time just designing a challenge and having fun together in the spirit of Christmas. One other tradition that we do is in our building, we have buddies, and the fourth grade buddies are buddies with the second grade buddies. And we usually do some type of activity, maybe reading holiday books together and then drinking hot cocoa or eating candy canes. And the children just love being together, enjoying that activity. I have never done a parent gift or a student gift since I've been at my new school. It tends to be, quite honestly, I don't know why. But my new teaching partner has some really great ideas about what we can have the kids make for their parents. And then we also got a student gift from the teacher. So she was able to find a really great deal, and I'll post it on my blog, customizable pencils. So we are going to give each child a pencil with their name on it. And if you're a parent in my class, please don't tell them and ruin the surprise. And then every year I give a Christmas gift, something just very small, to the parent volunteers in my classroom. And I think I'm going to go pick that up next weekend. And I have an idea of what I'm going to do this year. That one I'm not going to be sharing because I don't want any leakage going out. So I will share after the holidays if I remember. But it's very, very small. It's just kind of an extra thank you for volunteering in my classroom and Merry Christmas. So that's what I do in the classroom. We do sometimes do other things, very minimal, decorate the classroom type of thing. I have string lights hanging from my ceiling already, but I had a student tell me that it would look really cool if we hung candy canes from it. And so maybe I'll do something like that. I like when the students have an input in the decorating or whatever it is we decide to do. So we'll see what the kids have up their sleeves and include it in our classroom. Last year we did an elf in the shelf, and this year I don't think I'm going to. As much as I love the elf on the shelf, he was really naughty and did really fun things. But I read an Instagram from another teacher about how we should not be doing elf on the shelf in the classroom, especially for those kids who have anxiety towards the holidays. Maybe their memories of Christmas aren't as wonderful as mine are, or other children, and they're already being reminded every day about how the holiday is coming near. And an elf on the shelf is just more pressure to maybe why they don't do it at their house or why holidays aren't the same for them. So I think I'm going to omit that piece out this year. And I can absolutely 100% sympathize to those children. We can't entirely take it out of the classroom. And I guess my viewpoint is if they don't have it at home, I'd like to make whatever memories they do have special. And I'm going to do my best to be holiday sensitive. I don't know if that's the right political term, but also inspiring too. As for my home, we do Elf on the Shelf. And ours is named Elliot. My son was gifted Elliot his first Christmas, I believe, and it was Saint Nick. If you are German heritage like myself and my husband, we believe in Saint Nick. Now, around here where we currently live, Saint Nick is Santa, but where we came from, Saint Nick is not Santa. So I really don't know. I think I Googled it once and it said Saint Nick really is Santa, but Saint Nick is the German Santa. And I believe he comes the night of the 5th into the 6th, or the 6th into the 7th. I'm not sure which, but Saint Nick comes early on in the month of December, if you're not familiar, and he puts little items inside your stocking, and it's kind of like a reminder of, hey, I'm watching you, the holidays are coming up, here's a little gift for now, but let's keep being good so that we can get a nice gift for Christmas. So we stick to that tradition of Saint Nick, and he'll be coming soon, actually, I think probably in less than a week. And I got some fun little presents for whatever can fit in the stocking is kind of my general rule. And maybe just a few pieces of candy, but I don't go overboard, especially with my son's allergies to tree nuts. There's not a lot of candy you can get that doesn't have the possibility of tree nuts being in there. Candy canes, I believe, is one that is safe, though, luckily. And that night is when Elliot comes. So we always traditionally say, if you don't know when to bring in your elf, that's a great time. Elliot is usually found in somewhere in the house, and he comes with Saint Nick. And then when Santa comes, he leaves with Santa. So it's kind of a nice intro in and then exit for those of you who are not sure how to make that happen in your house. As for other traditions we do in our house, when my husband is gone for hunting, he usually leaves like a, you know, for the weekend. And then on Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I have off and he takes off. And we usually take the kids to daycare or school, wherever it is. And then we spend the day together Christmas shopping. And this year, my daughter had a fever at daycare on the Tuesday. I took her in. She has her third ear infection for the year, which means we could not send her to daycare on Wednesday. So we kept the kids and we bought our Christmas tree and we tried to do some shopping with some meltdowns, surprise, surprise. And we made it through the day, but we didn't get anywhere near where we wanted to, as we would normally if it was just him and I. So it was a little disappointing, but we got to spend the time with the kids. And then we have Thanksgiving, and then that Friday, the Black Friday, is when we go purchase our tree, when we would cut it down. But this year, I think it's going to just be we decorate the tree that day. Another tradition that we have is we believe that most of the presents under the tree should come from my husband and I, and that Santa gets like one or two items. And luckily, whenever he talked to Santa on his lap, which we do hunting weekend with my family, that's also a tradition, usually only has one or two things that he asked for from Santa. So this year, for whatever reason, he has Santa for a Mickey Mouse stuffy and a Ghostbusters sleeping bag. I can't find a Ghostbusters sleeping bag. I can find them on Amazon, but I can't justify spending $50 on a Ghostbusters sleeping bag. So luckily he can at least get his Mickey Mouse. But what we do is we wrap Santa's presents in gold wrapping paper. And that's how they know it's from Santa. I might have lowered my voice a little bit because I want to make sure I don't have any listening ears nearby. Wink, wink. No, but seriously, we believe that we don't want the biggest, grandest presents coming from Santa because we know that not every house has great things from Santa. Why do some homes have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of presents from Santa and some kids have tiny little things from Santa? So in our house, gold wrapping paper means it's from Santa and it's usually a small, you know, small mediocre gift. I believe my daughter is getting some princess dresses because she wants everything to be Frozen. Pretty easy, I guess, since Frozen's coming out. We're going to go see the movie tomorrow, and it's going to be her very first movie theater movie, so we're pretty excited about that. A few other traditions I have. I know I may go overboard on the Christmas traditions, but the night before, Christmas Eve night, each child gets to open a present, and inside, I'm sure you've seen this on Pinterest somewhere or on Facebook, but they get a new pair of Christmas PJs and a book. And inside the book, I date it and write a message from my husband and I, just kind of, it's a really small little message, maybe something that they asked for Christmas that year, you know, just some type of memory that I want them to remember. And we read the book before we go to bed and to wake up to Christmas presents the next morning. I also like to take a picture in front of the Christmas tree in their new PJs, and hopefully this year they'll cooperate since they're a little older. I'm kind of hoping so, but it's been really great. I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I feel, unlike my dad who thinks that everybody is cranky and stressed, I feel like everybody's just in good spirits and we're opening presents and we're giving presents. I love, 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 love giving presents. I think I got that from my mom. She also loves giving presents. I love giving them more than receiving them. It's just such a cool feeling knowing that you're making someone happy and it's fulfilling. So today I'm going to end my podcast with a message this is going to sound kind of weird. This message is sitting in the women's bathroom of my school building. And when you sit on the toilet and you look in front of you, on the wall is this list. I know, weird. And I usually like to end my podcasts with a quote, but it's not necessarily a quote. I can't claim this for myself, but I think this is a really great message as we enter the holidays. And the title of this message is Simple Formula for Living. It's a list, and I'm going to go down the list and just read them. Live beneath your means. Return everything you borrow. Stop blaming other people. Admit it when you make a mistake. Give clothes not worn to charity. Do something nice and try not to get caught. Listen more, talk less. I need to work on that one. Every day, take a 30-minute walk. Strive for excellence, not perfection. Be on time. Don't make excuses. Don't argue. Get organized. Be kind to unkind people. Let someone cut ahead of you in line. Take time to be alone. Cultivate good manners. Be humble. Realize and accept that life isn't fair. Know when to keep your mouth shut. Another thing I need to work on. Go an entire day without criticizing anyone. Learn from the past. Plan for the future. Live in the present. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff.